You're listening to Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast and the official podcast of the Lavender Legion.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast and the official podcast of the Lavender Legion. I am Caitlin Whiteside. That is Becky Morgan. As you can tell, Tom Benson is not with us today. He is on vacation somewhere, I believe. So we gave him the night off.
What a week to pick being off.
Yeah. Yeah. Great planning on your part, Tom. Great planning. yeah, Becky, how are you feeling after last night?
How am I feeling after last night? I think we're going to have a whole podcast to kind of discuss my feelings about last night, Caitlin. I think that frustrated is probably the simplest way to sum up my feelings in general. Was it all bad? No, but this is the first time I felt like there was a definite like step back and reversion to old racing so far this season, and I definitely didn't like that, despite the fact they did achieve some things that they have never achieved before. So we will get into that. Caitlin, we started a new segment, and I hate to throw this at you, but between the last two games, because last night we had Portland, but the week before we had Houston, we have to cover both of them in this podcast. We got to get your perpometer reading for both these games.
We're still in the same, we're still in ninth place, trusty ninth place in the table. We are undefeated, but we have still yet to win a game, still yet to lose a game. So we are just right in the middle of everything. The perp is still mid-sized. I hate to be the one to say it, but the perpometer has not moved a bit. It hasn't moved in either direction, really. So it's still right in the middle, medium, mid-sized perp. I know that's not what everybody wants to hear. Look, I can't wait till the perp is off the charts. That just wasn't going to happen this week.
No, I agree. I think that the performance in Houston kept it buoyed a little bit. If it was just Portland, I mean, I would say that it was like, you know, when you're driving, you have a slow leak in your tire and you're like, uh-oh. And you're seeing it drop a little bit, and you're like, uh-oh, is something happening here? I can't quite tell. Like, when it gets really cold and suddenly, like, your tire pressure drops, you're like, something's happening. Like, it's not a catastrophe yet, and it might not be a problem at all. But there are definitely some warning signs and some things that need to get fixed fast. That's where I feel we are.
Definitely. I felt that way in the second half of that Portland game.
Oh god, yeah.
And the stoppage time. God, that was just the worst. But yes, we are going to talk about that a little bit more later. But first, we're going to start with the starting line, which we just mentioned racing is in ninth place in the table. We're actually tied with Orlando, I believe. But for some reason, Orlando is in eighth and racing is in ninth. I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, because we are tied in every single metric. Yeah. In every single metric, except they have more cards than us. Isn't that a miracle? Like, we have fewer cards, and we actually didn't get a single card in Portland. I mean, that's kind of a miracle in and of itself.
Yeah.
But I do not understand what is making them ahead of us. Like, I asked someone and they jokingly said alphabetical order.
Oh my gosh. And,
like, I don't know if we're to the point where they're even like looking at tiebreakers yet for things like outside of goal differential, like if they're looking at cards and all. So I can't figure it out. It's to the point that I might email someone in the league and ask them for an explanation, because I'm confused. Because
we want our eighth place. Okay, give us our rightful eighth place in the table.
I mean, I would say that we are probably in an eighth place tie. It's just the standings can't show that.
Yeah.
But I'm I'm annoyed. So yeah, that's where we sit in good old ninth place. Hello, darkness, my old friend. We are reliving, I feel like now history is repeating itself for racing in ways that I don't like. After the first 2 weeks, I did not feel like that was the case. And the fact that we're in ninth place is just a little bit of the icing on the cake with that for me. We didn't have any player changes. That's the kind of thing we usually talk about in the starting line. Nothing changed with the roster, with the exception of, as we will discuss, LEP. Elie Piquiamsa had a bad injury, so we don't know what's happening there. The last update that we got late last night from the club was that she has a knee injury, which I think everybody was pretty much aware of, but it was confirmed that it was her actual knee as opposed to her leg, her ankle, something like that. And that she traveled home with the team today, Sunday, the day we're recording this. And will be evaluated further in Louisville. So not much info, but that's where we are now. On Twitter, I will be sure to update everybody if I hear anything else. So sending her best wishes, of course. And then, I mean, I think the other news that we need to keep an eye on is all the other questionable and out players that we've had. We've had a lot of out people. A lot of people did not travel for this game. So that's going to be a discussion that we have to have. So even though our roster has not changed in these 2 weeks, there are some question marks that we have about this roster that I think we're going to need to talk about. And then before we leave the starting line, really quickly, I want to give our fantasy league, our Lavender Legion, Butchertown Rundown fantasy league update. And I want to congratulate the team SEC SEC 125 for surging to the lead with a total of 187 points at the end of week two. By the time this comes out, we will have the numbers for week three, but they're not out yet at the time of recording. But I really wanted to call them out because SEC 125 has actually, at this point, is number 10 globally.
Oh,
So
wow.
they're number 10 out of something like 1,400 teams that are playing. So, wow, congratulations, because that's impressive. So we're proud of our Racing Louisville fam for accomplishing something that impressive.
Well, cool. All right. Now we'll just dive right in to
Let's do it.
let's do it to these last two games, obviously. Last night, Saturday, was the Portland game in Portland. And then the week before that was the Houston game in Houston. So two away games in 2 weeks. Yeah, I guess we can start with the kind of larger patterns that that we're seeing out of the team. You know, what how does the team look different this year, and how in what ways do they look similar, in terms of formation, tactics, things like that?
We are a completely different team in the attack. With the chances that we are creating, we're unlike any racing that we've seen before. And one thing that has absolutely killed me, and I feel like I'm going to butcher this when I try and say this out loud versus writing this, but in our first three games, we have not had a game where an offensive player has not beaten or matched a club or league record in offense. And yet we haven't won a single game. So in the first game, Alexa Barr became the first player since Rachel Daly 8 years ago to score an assist in her debut. In the second game against Houston, Raelynn Turner, as a rookie and only her second game, matched the team's record for shots and shots on goal, and she did it in one half. In her second professional game ever. And she tied with, I can't remember who had the shots, but she tied Tembi Katelana on shots on goal. So that's pretty incredible accomplishment. Then in game three, we have Uche Kanu come in and just like, I mean, is she killing it or is she killing it? Like, okay,
She's on fire.
I do not want to go a second further, and I'm going to take like a little side note just to like give her the biggest shout out possible because she is doing so amazing. And last night in Portland, she scored the fastest brace from kickoff that has ever been scored ever in the entire NWSL. She scored a brace in 6 minutes.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. And this is her third goal in three games, and she has an assist. This is the Uche that we thought we were getting. And I love that she's here. I love that she has this confidence. I love that she is playing up to her potential. And, you know, not only is she playing exceptionally well as a attacking player, she's getting back in defense. She's winning her duels. She's getting interceptions. She's just playing as an all around, I think in many cases, she is our all around best player on the field in the first half of games. And then I think she drops off a little bit in the second half of games. But either way, she's doing a phenomenal job and is absolutely the bright spot. So with all this these bright spots in offense, how are we not winning games?
Becky, I wish I could tell you. I mean, I wrote on Twitter last week, like, what does Racing have to do collectively as a team to score a goal? Like, there was like a force field around that goal in Houston. I mean, shout out to Jane Campbell. She had a hell of a performance that week. But Racing should have put at least, you know, two or three of those shots away, and they just did not go in. One went in, it was called back for being offside. But my larger point is that they're getting the chances, they are creating the chances. I mean, I don't know what they have to do to finish them. They know how to finish them, and they are, you know, Uche and Alexa Barr got a goal. And I think Raylan is right on the edge of getting a goal. And I think she's gonna pop off once she, you know, finally reaches that her potential. But right now we're creating the chances, and plain and simple, they ain't going in. So
Or we're giving them up. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the biggest problem is that when we score, we're scoring early.
and
And
sitting back, and then we're sitting back.
then we have no idea what to do. And we do like literally everything wrong. Against Portland, you know, it was such a last year Racing Louisville game. I almost felt like I was transported to like, I could almost feel us being in BMO Stadium
Oh
watching.
no, Becky, not that.
Didn't it feel like that though in so many ways? It's
Oh,
like, oh,
yeah.
they did except the one thing I will say is like they were fully in control for the first half. Like Portland was not getting a single second ball. They were not getting a third ball. Third balls did not exist because Racing was controlling it. Yeah, they were sitting back and defending. They were controlling. And then Portland adjusted and came out, and then Racing just like lost it. Like they lost all their cohesion, all their confidence, and just desperately sat back and started making stupid mistakes. And I mean, they drew the game, but I would say that they lost the game.
It felt like a loss.
This is as close as you can get to losing a game without losing a game. I mean, like the point feels like a participation trophy in some ways because like they lost that game. They did everything wrong in the second half, practically. And yes, Ellie's injury definitely hurt them, but you know, Ellie Jean came in and didn't do any worse job than Ellie Picciamsa did. You know, she didn't come in and throw anything off to my eye. Marissa DeGrande came in and did fine. You know, so it wasn't any individual player that you can be like, oh, everything was completely changed. And that's why it was like collectively. I mean, I'm just going to say it. Abby said after the game that this team doesn't know how to win. And I definitely think that's true. I think that they fell back on bad habits and they didn't know how to win. But more than that, I'm going to say it. They don't believe they can win these games. They don't believe in themselves enough to win these games. They do not have the attitude that like, F it. Like, we're putting it all out there and we're going to do everything it takes to win this. We can do this and we are going to do this. you can see them literally like constrict in on themselves as the game goes on, as they scramble more and more and more. And part of that is because they're tired, because you can't just defend constantly, but like you can literally see them start to give up faith and the other team gaining momentum and belief in themselves. That's something that can't be fixed with tactics. Like, I really think that the team needs to have like a come to Jesus moment. Happy Easter, everybody, if you celebrate. And they need to sit down and be like, we buy into this team and we believe we can win. Because if you look back at Gotham last year, I think one of the most stark things that has ever said is when I was talking, I mean, with a bunch of other reporters, but with Ally Krieger right before the final. People asked, like, oh, what was this huge turnaround Gotham had this year? And she simply said that we got together as a team and we said, we are not going to be in last place. We are going to be in first place. And if we're not in first place, we're going to win the championship. We are going to go from worst to first. We're going to win the championship. We're buying in on this right now. And this is going to be our attitude. And it doesn't matter how we lose. It doesn't matter how games go. If we lose games, we're going to say, well, too bad. We're still going to be the first place team. And we're going to have that buy-in, and we simply believed it, and that carried us. And I don't think racing has that belief. And that belief is a hard thing to gain. I'm not saying that they should just like snap, like turn a light switch on and get it, but they need to get it. They need to be able to dig in and truly find another gear in these moments. But on top of that, I mean, I do think that they just don't yet know what to do. They haven't they truly do not seem to know, even in games that are going well, how to hold possession and slow the tempo of a game down in any meaningful way. They've not had the majority possession, even, well, I guess there are some owners fairly close in any of the three games they've played. They want to be a possession-based team, and yet they're like constantly turning it over. They're not going to be able to not get in situations like they did in Portland if they can't hold on to the ball and stop defending for periods. You know, if they can't move the ball, even if it's just like weathering the pressing from Portland and passing it around the back a little bit just to like move it. And a couple times, like they were finally able to get it up to Parker Goins and she was able to take it into the corner like once. Like that is what they needed to be doing several times. Like we need to like really be working on possession. That is the number one thing that this team needs to be working on, because if they cannot possess and hold on to the ball, then they're not going to be able to do anything that they want to do. And, you know, I really do believe that maybe not Portland, but one of these games, I almost feel like it would have been better for them to lose, because having three draws, it's too easy to become complacent. It's too easy to be like, well, we still got a point. And it's like, no, you dropped two. Like, you can't keep dropping 2 points and say 1 point is good enough. Like, you need those losses. One, like, you need losses because you put everything out there and, like, you tried to, like, I feel like I'm just rambling, but racing's problem is, like, that I truly believe more what I was saying about the mentality is that when they go ahead, they try and cling to a win instead of actually trying to earn a win. They don't try to actually take control of the game and win it. They desperately try to cling on to it. And like, you're never going to cling on to something that you're holding on to if you let people just constantly yank it away from you, right? That's what happens. You know, we ended up giving Portland like 27 shots overall. Of course, some are going to go in. So, like, they need to have a lot change. I think that these draws are disguising some bigger problems, because I think Racing sees themselves as an underdog team. And if they go behind, then they have it in them, the grit to come from behind and get points. And if they don't get on the board, they have the grit to fight through and potentially get a win. They do not know how to win when they go ahead early.
That's an interesting point, Becky. The fact that they see themselves as underdogs and they're blue collar, and yes, that's great. At some point, though, you need to switch that into, no, we deserve to be here. We are not underdogs. Like, people should not underestimate us. We have the talent on this team to beat anyone. So let's just go out and play like we should and, you know, take that win. It's like, it doesn't have to, they don't have to make it this hard every single game. You don't
I
have to go
agree.
down by two and fight your claw your way back. You don't. Sometimes, a lot of the times, teams, they just win games. They just win them. And there's no dramatics about it. They can just go out and win the games. And they just don't have that mentality yet. And like, here's the other thing that I kind of wanted to bring up is racing is a high pressing team. They say that that is the philosophy of the club.
They have been doing it, though, not fully.
They've not been doing it.
Well, it's because they're sitting back.
But here's the thing, they press for 20 minutes of the game. The problem is there's 90 minutes in a soccer game. So what are you doing for the other 70 minutes?
In the first half, they did a good job, though. I mean, they did not let, like, they intercepted the ball. They did not let Portland have multiple chances. They just could not maintain it. But that's why they need possession. That's why they need, like, when they win the ball back, they lose it immediately. So, like, it's not the fact that they're, like, not doing a good job of earning interceptions and turning the ball over. It's the fact that they just, like, they're not doing anything with it once they have it.
Or I would argue they're trying to do stuff too quickly. They need to
Yeah, they're
be
forcing it. Exactly.
patient. Possession-based teams are good with the ball. They're patient with the ball when they need to be. Because, you know, if you're just frantically like, oh gosh, I got to get rid of the ball. Someone's on me. I have to pass it. Well, of course, you're not going to make the best pass possible because you're just trying to like, I don't know. You need to just be more patient with it, especially in the buildup in the midfield right there. And certain players are better at it than others, but gosh, they just need to don't freak out when you have the ball. It's great. It's great to have the ball. You should be excited to have the ball. Be like Alexa Barr over there on that right side, waving your hands up and down, like, give me the ball. I want the ball. And like, do something good with it. Just be smarter with the passes. I mean, so many times we just would get the ball and then just make a pass. Like I wouldn't call it the most obvious pass, but sometimes maybe. And then it's like we'd immediately turn the ball over. And it's
Yeah.
like, why don't you just calm down, consider your options? You know, I will say, I know we had a discussion about building out of the back on last week's episode. I will say it's looking better to me.
Oh, yeah.
Knock on wood, it stays that way, but it is looking better. And they are learning, they're becoming more comfortable with that. They need to become more comfortable with like building out of the midfield now. So we got the back down. Let's fix the midfield and in that final third. Because that, I think, is where the issues are cropping up.
Yeah, I mean, we cannot get the ball to the forwards consistently. That's the problem. We need to prioritize holding onto possession more than forcing the ball forward. And I don't think we've figured that out yet. But I mean, I don't have perfect answers for that either. I'm not a coach. I'm not a tactician. But no, that is a definite problem. But like, yeah, it does no one any good to, put all this effort into regaining possession just to have it for three passes and then throw it again, and then everybody has to scramble backwards again and run at players and win the ball back and then do all this crap again to defend. It becomes a mess. And then it just devolves, as it did in the Portland game at the end, to us, instead of like actually building out of the back and doing anything coherent, but just like clearing the ball out desperately and just like kicking it into like as far down the field as we possibly can in desperation. And that's never going to work. So it just like slowly disintegrated. Everything that they were supposed to be doing just, fell apart like a slow leak in a tire, piece by piece, until, eventually the equalizer was scored. So that's just such a common occurrence for racing that, I mean, it can't just be like, oh, that's bad luck, or like, oh, wow, on a whole, they did so well against Portland. And like, yes, okay, like, that's great that they scored their first goals ever in Portland. That's great that they got their first point ever in Portland. I think the worst thing they could possibly do moving on from this week is be happy with those things, or like use those as any kind of like, that's an accomplishment in progress. No, like, that is, at this point in their existence, like, that is an unacceptable level of progress. If they had come from behind to get a 2-2 draw, then that would be like, yay, that's exciting. When you had the lead for until the last minute of the game, then that's not good enough. And so, like, I really hope that they don't go back and be like, look, there were, I mean, not saying they need to browbeat them, but I think the last thing that they can do is have any kind of sense of this is good enough. I think they need to say, like, right now, right here, like, we need to change things and we need to change them now because this is unsustainable. Dropping these points now is going to have a ripple effect later. And sure, there's time to make it up, but that's why you need to react now and change things right now because, like, sure, there's plenty of pathways for this team to be absolutely fine and make it into the playoffs, but like you cannot be complacent with the way things are going. There need to be major changes. So, like, as we alluded to earlier, there have been a ton of players out. Most recently, since the last time we had a podcast, Savannah DeMello was a late scratch for Houston and then did not travel for Portland. And then Aaron Wright, who was not played at all in the opener, was subbed in late in Houston and then almost like immediately sustained an injury, even though she finished the game. She was out of this game in Portland as well. Now, we don't know the extent of these, and then of course Ari's out, and Kirsten Wright is still out, Millie Clegg is still out, Yuka is still out. Did I name everybody? Was that six people? If I forgot someone, apologies, but there were six people and there were a lot of you. The thing is, like, yeah, I think Racing can say, like, oh, we weren't at full strength. Like, we didn't have Ari, we didn't have Sav, we didn't have Kirsten Wright to sub in potentially. We didn't have Aaron Wright when Ellie Picayamsa went down. And like, yeah, that's true, but like that's not.
Those are not excuses.
No, there's plenty of teams that are missing key people as well. And like, I'm heartened that Racing is doing as well as they are missing these people. But like, what impact do you think we've had? Do you think any of these draws could have definitely been wins had we had these players available?
I don't necessarily believe that. I don't think that the players that are missing are like the missing piece or like the key to solving all these issues. I think it's bigger than that, right? And I mean, I'm glad that it's not kind of like what you said. I'm glad it's not, we're not relying on one or two amazing players and, just hoping for the best. We do have the depth. We're still getting, yes, we're getting the ties, but we're doing it with our bench, with our depth players. Like, that's improved tremendously. Now, the thing about Sav, I think that's interesting. Like, would having her in Portland have, to kind of play that 10 role and maybe help playmake move the ball forward a little bit more? Would that have helped?
In Portland again, maybe.
But again, I think the issues are bigger than just one player. I think it's a team mentality kind of deal. And it'll be, I'm excited to see what it looks like when everyone is healthy again. But as for, are those missing players? I guess another way that it could potentially affect the team is with our defense. Our defense now, if Aaron Wright is still injured and Ellie Picayamsa, as we know, is injured, we don't know the extent of it yet. That's two defenders that we cannot rely upon. What does that leave us with? Bare bones back there. So that is worrisome to me, and I think that could ha potentially have an effect, just because that does kind of thin our bench.
If Ellie has a season-ending injury, I think they have to sign another defender
Yeah.
from somewhere. I don't think that they can risk having Aaron, Carson, and Abby, who are all 30 plus. And I mean, Carson's barely above 30, but I mean, that doesn't mean an injury isn't going to happen. We're all 30 plus, and Ellie Jean and Malay. As it, because like one more person and you're dead. I know Maddie Picorni is now listed as a defender,
She's not a defender, though. That is
but
not
she's
her
not a natural
best.
defender. And so
No.
like I really feel that we need, depending on the state of Ellie, we definitely need to consider signing another defender, which is not really a place where I love us being at this point. But unfortunately, these are the things that you have to deal with when unexpected things happen. I agree that in Portland, Sav could have potentially been helpful, but I do want to say that Kayla Fisher did an excellent job in Houston. She had a very, very, very good game. And so, and it's good to see her develop as a player and be such a good person to fill in for Sev, because I did not feel like we missed Sev hardly at all against Houston, which is a huge thing to say because she's one of our best players. And then Ari, we just really, I mean, our offense has been killing it so much, it's kind of hard to see where Ari fits into everything. And I mean, I can't see her not fitting in well. Everybody's been doing so well that it's exciting to think that we have this other big piece that can just be added at some point once she's healthy. But what kills me is all, like, the Portland game, more than either of the other two games played yet this season, was 100% winnable by Racing. There is zero excuse as to why this game should not have been won by Racing. Like, Racing lost. Like, the reason we say it's a loss is because Racing lost it. In Orlando, like, or against Orlando, like, sure, that set piece was like, if they redid that set piece, that late set piece for the equalizer 100 times, they would maybe meet, like, make that set piece one other time. Like, that was very hard to execute. That was incredibly well taken. Like, that was not like a true mess up from Racing. Like, maybe they could have done better, but it wasn't like an error. Where, I mean, I hate to call her out, but like the first goal in the 52nd minute for Portland, like, Katie should have picked that ball up. I have no idea why she didn't pick that ball up. And Katie made some great saves, but like, it's little things like that when you're frazzled, when like, that the team just cannot collectively come together and like stop there from being that much of a scramble. I mean, they were scrambling in those first few minutes and they were scrambling for the rest of the half. I mean, the fact that they did get a point, maybe that is good for them considering how the second half went. But, you know, like, there are things you can point to in the Portland game where it's like, okay, Racing actually gave up these points, where I don't feel like I can say that about their effort in Houston.
No, that game in Houston, that's the game I'm least upset about out of all three so far,
Yeah,
because
me
I
too.
don't know what else Racing could have done to
No, and
win.
I. At first, when after watching it, I was like, they should have taken their chance, like, their shots better. They should have had higher quality shots. And like, okay, like, their shots in some cases were not the most deadly or dangerous shots in the world. But looking back on it, like, Campbell did make better saves than I gave her credit for. And in some cases, like, Raylan got off some shots that, like, I can't even believe that she held on to possession and got a shot off. Like, even if it didn't have the highest XG, like, that's not because it wasn't actually like a really great job on her behalf. It just like wasn't like obvious goal. So I really can't fault them very much for the Houston game. One thing I want to ask you about, because this is a debate that I've had with a few other people just in the women's soccer world, and it's a debate that you see all over Twitter and people are asking about it. I saw Claire Watkins mention this. I've seen Sandra Herrera mention it. I've been talking about it with Dan Lauletta a lot, just like offline. This stoppage time. Do you remember? Woo, back in time. Do, 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 do. In the last Men's World Cup, what was that, like 2022? I don't know. I don't pay attention to bros. They like, I guess they changed, what did they do? Did they change the stoppage time rule or like make a slight adjustment? Because suddenly in games, it was like 11 minutes of stoppage time and people were like losing it over the amount of stoppage time in games. And now that has just become par for course, I guess, because of this rules change. And part of it is because VAR and everything like that. But you know what? Like, if the refs are taking this damn long to check stuff, like, that's on the refs, that's not on the players. And I don't think that the players should be punished for it and be expected to play like 6 extra minutes because like the refs were unable to see a clear and obvious
It's
play.
clearly not clear and obvious if it's
Clearly
taking
not clear
6 minutes.
and obvious. But regardless, like, I mean, I feel like there has to be a cap on stoppage time because in games this week, either winning goals or equalizing goals were scored in the 8th, 9th, and 10th minutes of stoppage time. Because when you get to that point, like, play just gets sloppy and it's not good soccer. We just saw in the Utah game that happened earlier today, because again, it's Sunday, Utah and the Spirit, that they had the longest first half so far this season because I think they had like 13 or 14 minutes of stoppage time.
Wow.
And then they had a large amount in the second half as well. I think it was only like 8 or 9, only 8 or 9, which still would have been like 3 years ago, like an absurd amount. And they probably had like the longest game of any team so far this season as a result. And I think that that is risking damaging players. And I mean, people who aren't racing fans might listen to this and be like, oh, boo hoo, you're just whining because racing gave up a goal in the last minute of a game. Okay, racing technically, of all the teams listed, got at the best out of this because it was only an equalizer. Like, I'd be a lot more upset if I was Bay or I can't even remember. Yeah, Seattle lost, but they lost in stoppage time to the winning goal by San Diego. I think it was them who lost that late. But either way, like those are the teams that have more to complain about than racing does. Like we at least got a point out of it. But I mean, I think there's something to be said for the fact that like these players are already traveling ridiculously long distances. They're playing these absurdly long games, and then the quality is just not there at the end of matches. I think there needs to be a cap on stoppage time. Unless if there are like absolutely extreme reasons to extend the game to like 11 minutes, 12 minutes, 13 minutes, I really do not see what is gained by having more than 10 minutes of stoppage time. I don't think anybody is going to be doing stalling tactics to make it that much worse. And if they are, give them yellows, right? Like if you think that they're trying to abuse it, because like most of the reason that this is happening is because of VAR.
That is my biggest gripe with this. And I saw that tweet that I think you're referring to. I
From
think
Jeff
maybe
Kasich.
Claire, well, no, I thought it was Claire Watkins was talking about if I were Louisville and
Yeah,
it
Claire
took
said that. Yeah.
them, X amount of minutes for VAR to, I think it was they were looking at a handball. Or a
Yeah.
quote unquote handball off of Sam Coffey. It wasn't a handball. It wasn't clear and obvious. They didn't need to spend all this time on it. If it's not clear and obvious, you don't need to use VAR.
I mean, they gave 10 minutes because of Ellie's injury, but it didn't need to be 10
It didn't take 10
minutes.
minutes. No. But I think the larger discussion is, okay, this is the second year of VAR in the NWSL. They need to get this process. They need to nail this process down better because it should not be taking this long. And when you're in the stands and there's a VAR check, like no one knows what's going on. When you're watching on TV and there's a VAR check, they only show it like once. Or at least when I was watching on ION last night, they only showed the quote unquote handball in question once. So when you're as a viewer, it's confusing. You're just like, what's going on? Why are we sitting here for 5 minutes and no one is explaining and we're not seeing, visual cues for what we're supposed to be looking for? And it's not a good viewing experience. It's unprofessional. And like, I understand they want to get it right, but like, if it's not clear and obvious, again, you don't need VAR.
No, and
I don't, yeah, I don't get it.
it's so disruptive too. And like in the Utah Spirit game, a penalty was called immediately in the favor of the Spirit by the on-field ref, by the main official, and everybody was lined up, got everything squared up, and then suddenly it stops, like right before like Sullivan's ready to take the kick. Because they decide that they need to review and see if Trinity Rodman was offsides before the penalty.
See,
So he sits there and is just chatting and chatting, and everybody like Haught had just got Mandy Haught, the goalkeeper, had been like pumping herself up, and then just has to stop. And then Andy Sullivan was like, getting herself ready to take penalty, and then has to stop. Like that's bad. That like you shouldn't even like let them line up and do that if there's any like if it's so late that you're like, wait a second, we're not sure that this is a penalty. Like it, by the time you get lined up, like it should be like, no, it's too late, we're not doing this. And then nothing happened, so it's just delayed for absolutely no reason. So I mean, that kind of crap just makes me livid, and all it does is disrupt the game. And I do think that like there is a good way to use VAR. I just do not think the NWSL is doing it.
no, they're not. And I just hope they're able to get that process down, and make it less disruptive for the players, less disruptive for the people in the stands and everyone watching on TV. Because yeah, it's like having this new piece of technology. It's nice, but you have to know when to stop.
And
Like you just
we don't have enough cameras either, too, which is a whole
exactly.
other problem. But truly, I mean, back to my original point, like who truly wants 11, 12, 13 minutes
Not
of
me.
stoppage time?
Not me. Because if you're winning like we were last night, you're like, ooh, let's get this over with. Please, just TikTok, TikTok, let's get it over with.
No, and if you're losing, you're like, yeah, you want those extra minutes and everything, but at the same time,
It's
like
not good quality soccer, like you said.
but you also run the risk of injury, and
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if the cost is worth the what we're getting for it. I actually feel quite strongly that it's not. So, with these two games, with what we're seeing from racing, is there like I think the hardest thing for me about like the criticism is I can't be like in past years like our defense is a problem. Our offense is a problem. Like, it's kind of a whole team problem when we're in these circumstances when they go ahead early. How do you fix it? Like, where does racing go from here? What do you think that they do? I said that I think that they need to have like the come to Jesus moment altogether and that they need to like recommit to buy-in. But I mean, I would rather have had them go for it like whole hog. I don't know, but I say that, but then again, they were trying to like move the ball forward and getting nowhere. So like what do I mean by that? I don't know. I guess I mean I almost would have rather had them lose the game and like try different things than just be pinned back in their half. Because the thing that has upset me the most about the Orlando and the Portland game, I will try and explain this, but you know passing matrices and like where they showed the average position of players
Yeah.
throughout the match. In both our matches, we have only had one player who spent the majority of their time outside of Racing's half. In both the games that we gave up the two goals for 2-2 draws. That's horrible.
Yeah.
10 of our players spent the majority of their time in Racing's half. That's really, really, really bad. When you look at every other team, they maybe have like two or three players, four. It's bad if they have five. We have 10. In Orlando, it was only Savannah DeMello. In this game, it was only Raylan Turner. And Raylan Turner was of the starters, I should say, because the substitutes come in and for like their brief times, they're up there higher. And then Raylan Turner was like really isolated. And not what, like, she could not get the ball in Portland. They could not get the ball to her, too. So that was like a mess as well. But I don't know. Like, there's not a clear way to fix this. And I think that's what's so frustrating to me. The players say that they're happy with the tactics, that they think that the tactics are sound, that they think that, like, Uche, when, and this is one thing, I guess I want to end it a little bit on on a hopeful note, and I want to know your impression about this. Uche is a completely different player. She is unlike anybody that we saw last year at all. She did not get a single goal in regular season play last season. She only got one goal in the Challenge Cup last season, and as a result, spent the majority of her time on the bench. That will kill your confidence, understandably so. And yet she has come into this team and this year and is just a completely reinvigorated person and has completely, as we talked about, just been killing it. And so, like, mentalities can change and they can change pretty quickly. And she attributes the change to the change in tactics, to the fact that she feels like she's being played where she wants to be played on the left side, where she's most comfortable, and that she really believes in Bev and Carm and the rest of the coaching staff. She named them by name and said that that is why she feels confident and what is different in her game. So, like, mentalities can change. Uche is like an example of like how quickly and how dramatically like Racing can turn it around if they just get this buy-in once. If they just go ahead by two against a tough opponent and like don't have to hang on by their fingernails and win. Like, they actually win the right way once. I feel like that's what they need. They just need that confirmation, like they need to learn how to win that one time, and they'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, we see exactly what we need to do. Now we have the confidence to do it. So I hope they're able to find that, because I really feel like more than anything that's tactics, more than anything that's coaching, they just need to do it and they need to believe in it. I don't know. Is that too simplistic a take?
No, I think that is exactly it. And when you kind of get stuck in this cycle of draws and kind of not really, you're just kind of treading water, it kind of becomes a self, it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It certainly is raising.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we are this kind of team and this is what we always do. And they just, you end up reverting back to that. But with the mentality change, like you said, Uche, yeah, you're right. She's a great example. She scored more goals now in 3 games than she did all season. She's done so, like, she complete turnaround from last year. And so the pieces are there, right? We have the coaching staff in place. The players love the coaching staff. We have the tactics in place. It's a matter of putting what they know how to do into action. And doing it
And not
once,
falling
like,
back on old habits, yeah.
yes, and doing it once and being like, oh, this is how, all right, this is how this works. We've been here before. We know how to do this. All right, everybody just calm down. That's the thing. If everyone would just calm down, get a little less frantic with the ball. I understand it's a very high speed league, high speed game, but just like, Kayla Fisher specifically. I love the energy. Love it. Sometimes I wish she'd take just a couple more touches before she passes the ball. Dribble it a little bit more. Just have the patience and just know that you guys can do it. It doesn't have to be, you can keep possession, right?
And that's it. Like they could not slow the tempo. Like they could not slow the tempo down. Just like a few more touches, holding onto possession a little bit, slowing the game down, like would have been a difference maker for them, but they could not do it. So I agree 100%, yeah.
I even noticed at the end of the first half of the Portland game, the possession numbers were not bad. Like, it wasn't that lopsided. So Racing had like 44 or something, or like 42 to
It was
Port.
like 44, 45,
Yeah,
yeah.
to
Not
Portland's.
great, not bad,
Yeah,
yeah.
to Portland's 55. That's better than what it ended up being, right? Which was like 60
39.
something and yeah, and 39. So they can do that. They cannot do it at this point for an extended period of time.
For 80 or for 93 minutes.
Yeah, consistently for that amount of time. So it's
So,
just.
why do you think that Racing can only score early? Like, that is the thing that kills me, is are other teams underestimating Racing?
Maybe, or, Racing, they're getting the reputation of, oh, don't worry about it. They'll score early, but we can score on them.
Except Portland definitely was not, but they were also like humiliated by the two early goals we got. They were not pleased by them at all. So I don't think that anybody's thinking like, oh, we can let them score two and then get two back. Like nobody wants to be in that position.
But if they get into that position, they're like, they have the mentality of, we can do this, which Racing does not have.
Yeah. And that's what racing, that's the missing piece.
I think Abby needs to sit them down and have what you said come to Jesus moment. And she needs to just, I don't care what she says, just get them motivated. She and Jalen, captain, vice captain.
Like, this is such a stupid example, but like, when you're playing a video game and there's like a boss that you just like cannot freaking beat. And then as soon as you beat them, it's like if you replay the game or like replay the dungeon level or something, you just like, okay, I
Yeah.
know exactly how to do it like every freaking time. Like Racing needs to beat that dungeon. Like they're stuck on this big boss and they just cannot get past this level. And I don't think that it's like a failure of anybody, or it's like anybody like is specifically like less believing than anybody else. It's just like, I don't know, they just cannot break through and they just shatter. They play individually. Oh my goodness. But it's the way you phrase that for some reason, when they finally do it in the mint mix, I'm definitely going to recommend this is how we do it, because the way you said,
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a great, Great
This
choice.
is how we do
And speaking of the mint mix, since Tom's not here to introduce it, I get to introduce it now. Here's the mint mix. This week was disappointing for us, right? So the songs are going to reflect that. I don't know how else to put it. The first song I have, and gosh, I hate even admitting this, but I typed it into my phone just in case I needed it. Maybe my mentality is not right, okay? But
Okay, except let me just go in there really quickly. One thing we did not address is that is disappointed as we are, did any of us have us getting points like in past years? And again, this is not what the team should dwell on, but as fans, we should say at least that like there have been teams that no matter what, when we played them, we would put zero in the points column and be like, okay, this game is just going to be a wash. We're not going to get anything. We'll go to the next one. And Portland has always been that. Courage is still that for us. We have not yet slayed that dragon. But like we did get a point in Portland. If you had told me that like earlier in the week with like no context, I would have been like, oh, that's awesome. Like that's great. I'm excited for this. It's how we got the point that is so disappointing, but it's still good we got a point in Portland.
It is, and that's never happened before. So, we've beaten Portland, we've lost to Portland, and now we've tied Portland. So,
In Portland.
in
Now we need
Portland.
to win Portland, win against Portland
Win.
and
Yes, in Portland. But for now, the song that kind of reflects how I feel about this is Almost Doesn't Count by Brandy, because it doesn't. We almost won, but it doesn't count. We still only
I
got
think
one
that's a good
point.
one.
And that song's kind of slow R&B, kind of emo, sad. That's how we're all feeling. The next song I have is Here It Goes Again by OK Go. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. If you've seen the music video, it's where they're on the trampolines. Not trampolines, I'm sorry.
The treadmills.
The treadmills. Yes, they're on the treadmills. And it does kind of feel with all these draws that we are just on a treadmill and just going along, maybe speeding up a little bit, but then we slow back down and revert to the pace. And here it goes again.
Deep cut there, Caitlin.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'm proud of that one. And then the last song I have, The Winner Takes It All by ABBA, because this team needs to be reminded that the winner takes it all. If you win, you get all the points. If you lose, you don't get any. They're getting too comfortable with these draws. And also that song is kind of a bummer song as well. So just go listen to some ABBA. Maybe you might feel better about this weekend.
I don't know. They have like for a group that cheers me up, they do have some very depressing music with the exception of Dancing Queen.
They
Yeah.
do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's those long dark Swedish winners. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, Becky, I think that's all we have.
That is all we have. We will be back in 2 weeks with Tom when he's returned from his adventures, hopefully bringing us good luck. With better things to talk about.
Yes, and there's no game next weekend because there's an international break. But then the week after that is San
San
Diego at
Diego.
home. Yes.
Yep, so we will see you in San Diego and have a
Actually,
lot.
it's at home. It's at
Well,
Lynn
no, we
Family
will see you at
Stadium.
the San Diego game.
Yes.
Yes, we'll see you in Lynn Family Stadium against San Diego. Let me actually phrase that better. Yeah, I was not planning on going to San Diego.
I was like, you can go. I don't know if anyone's gonna be there. Yeah.
Yeah, but don't go there because no one will be there, by the way. But I will see you at the San Diego match, and hopefully we will have some fun things to talk about.
All right. Well, Becky,
This was fun.
let's do it again.